Verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. The he is Jesus. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Well, tonight we're going to call this free at last. Free at last. Free at last. You know, it's interesting how these disciples were not aware, or pardon me, the religious people that he talked to were not aware of the bondage that they were in. It's amazing how some people can fight you to stay in bondage. And the reason why is because they think they're free. They think they know everything. They didn't come to hear you. They came to hear you make a mistake. I mean, you know, they didn't come really, because these people showed up at Jesus' meeting because they showed up to catch him in his words. They didn't show up to get healed. They didn't show up to get delivered, get set free, or anything like that. So it's amazing here, they were under the rulership of Caesar at that time, and they said they were free. Well, they weren't free, because over in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Bible says there will be the head, not the tail. They'll be the lenders and not the buyers. They were borrowing, they were poor, everything else. So they weren't free. So it's amazing how people can be in bondage and not even know they're in bondage. So now when it comes time to set them free, you got to first show them they're in bondage. So that's what the scriptures do in the truth. The truth will make you free. That you can see what lies the devil has told and be able to open yourself up to a new, a better reality. Say amen to that. And even people in their lives, I've been teaching on things like the God factor and stuff like that. People don't realize that their boundaries are not on the outside. Their boundaries are on the inside. The boundary is in your heart. It's what you believe. And what you believe is where you're going to go. So the fire is not your boundary. You know that's not your boundary, because the three Hebrews stood in fire and wouldn't burn them. So you know that's not your boundary. Water and gravity are not your boundaries. You know that because Peter walked on water. My point to you is that Adam was created free. And God now is working to get us back to Eden, where we are free indeed. I'm talking about who the Son sets free. I'm not talking about who your paycheck sets you free. I'm talking about who the Son sets free, because that's true freedom. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, so tonight we're going to talk a little bit about some about healing, and then we'll be able to exercise our faith and see God heal those who are sick. And one of the things that I saw, if you'll turn over with me, over to Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. It says here, this is Jesus, after he got up in the synagogue, he spoke a word in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and set down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. He went about demonstrating to people what God is really like and what he had intended for their lives and why, in fact, he had to come. Now, it says here that when Jesus finished this teaching that he did, that they wanted to thrust him off of a cliff, and he walked right through them. Verse 31, and came down to Capernaum and city of Galilee and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with what? Power. And his word is still with power today. That as I'm speaking his word today, that whatever I'm teaching on comes with it. In other words, the virtue is in the word. That God has anointed me, a preacher, teacher, one that he has sent here to train up his body so that we can go out and be a witness to the world. God never intended for us to live on the level that the world lives on. Come on now. I know flu may come, but he intended for flu not to bother you. In other words, your glory to God. Well, I feel anointing in here tonight. Whichever way, whether it's in lack or whether it's in fear or whatever, God planned for you to live above that. So the way that you're going to get there is through the word of God. Let's go and go on down here in verse 38. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them, or him. Now, this is interesting. He rebuked the fever. He didn't pray, Father, if it be your will. He didn't do that. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. And one of the tricks of the enemy is to try to get you to say, if it be thy will. Now, there is a place where Jesus said that, but that was in the Garden of Gethsemane. In other words, many times if you pray and you don't quite know the will of God, then you pray, if it be thy will. But healing is the will of God. Healing is the will of God. Healing is not something that is suspect. I don't know whether it's God's will. Well, they come in the same package. In other words, when Jesus came, he came with what we call a double cure. He came with healing and deliverance from sin at the same time. Now, let's prove that to you. Let's go over, if you will. Now, this was Peter's mother-in-law that got healed. Are y'all with me here? And notice she had a fever. And in that fever, notice Jesus came and Jesus ministered to her. And the fever immediately went down to normal. And she got up and fixed them something to eat. Now, that's what I like about it. You see, she didn't have to go through recovery. Come on, help me now. She didn't have to go through 16 treatments. Oh, is this the right bunch over here? The only thing she had to do was receive. Boy, that. The Bible says in John chapter 1, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, all God is asking you to do is receive. You don't need to get rid of nothing. Just receive. Tonight, you're just going to receive. Don't be trying to get rid of that arthritis. Just receive. Two things cannot occupy the same place at the same time. Either you got healing or you got something else. But tonight, now, let's verify that, because faith comes, how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's go and put that up on the board. Let's put up Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4, the first, and then 5. So in Isaiah chapter 53, he says this, surely. Now, I like that word, because that word leaves no doubt about it. Surely, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was what? Wounded, keep going, for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we what? We are healed. So notice, he bore that. He bore that. Now, he bore that so that you don't have to bear it. He bore it. He said, no, you take this. This is my righteousness. This is my health. You take that and give me what you got. In the Old Testament, the high priest laid hands on the goat, and then he confessed the sins of the whole nation. And once he did, they let the goat escape into the wilderness to be devoured by beasts. So notice, the sins of the nation supernaturally came into a sacrifice. And then he went up and was devoured, never to be seen again. So the sins came off them into the goat. The sins came off you into Jesus. But see, that's just one part. It's a double cure. Not only did your sins come off, your sickness came off too. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, how can that come off and I'm still feeling this? Because you need to receive. You can't receive without faith. You need to hear about what Jesus did. Hosea said, my people are destroyed, come on, for lack of knowledge. I like what Gloria Copeland said. That lady came to her and said, Sister Gloria, I've been trying to do all I can to get healed. It just doesn't seem like this thing is coming to me. She said, do you know my problem? She said, sure, you don't know enough. That's all, you just don't know enough. The truth will make you, come on, free. See, it's only pride that thinks you know enough. Well, I knew a thing. I've been in church for 40 years. Yeah, you sure have. Because you sit in church doesn't get you healed. Just like standing in the garage don't make you a car. You got to know something. So my point to you is that here's Jesus. She was sick. He ministered to her. Immediately she was healed. So we're looking for immediate healings tonight. We're not looking. I know God can heal different ways, and you can go home and the healing manifests over the next week or 2 weeks and so forth. That's fine. But I want some evidence tonight. Say amen to that. I got my expector out for immediate, straightway, right now. I believe there's some anointing over here somewhere. All right, right here, right over here, right over here. In your left or right shoulder. I can't tell which one. Look like a left. All right, it's pain in it. Come on, come on. Get up. Whoever it is, it's pain in it, all right? Put it down. Now, stand up. Let somebody hold the baby for you right quick. Stand up. All right, stand up right where you are, okay? Now, right where you are, that's it, all right? Now, take both of your hands and hold them up just like that. There it is right there. Now, see, there it is right there. Now, Rod says, pain, go, in Jesus' name. Now, move your arm around just like you never had pain. Come on, move it. That's it. Now give God praise for it if it's gone. Now, you sit down. Now my point to you is this: He took your pain. That's what He took. He took your pain. Well, Reverend, you know I'm getting old. Ho ho ho! He didn't say get old and get arthritis. That's not in there. You see, in the scriptures, in the millennium, 100 is still a child. Let me share something with you, because what has happened, folks, is not only a combination of bad teaching. But we watched other folk. And we've gotten our theology from watching somebody who is just as ignorant as you are. Now, I don't mean that for an insult. That's not what I'm doing. When you're walking in darkness, you're just walking in darkness. Say amen to that. But that's why you come in here to get some light on the subject. We had been taught 60, 70, 80 years, you know, you think about dying. But if you go in the scriptures and look at 60, 70, 80 years, that wasn't the deal. I said that was not the deal. I see we got to stop right here. Let's put it up on the board for me, please. Put up Psalm chapter 90. And look at verse, let me see, hold it. I'm coming back to this double cure here. Psalm chapter 90, and look at verse 8. No, verse 9, let's start there, verse 9. All right, look what it says. For all our days have passed away in thy wrath. We spent our years as a tale that is told. Keep going. The days of our years are 70 years, and it by reason of strength they be, if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and what do? We're going to fly away. Now, we've heard that, and it said 80. How much is 80? Anybody know? 80 years. So 80 years means that, hey, after 80 years, I'm flying away. That's what's been taught sometimes, even in churches. But let's go back to the previous verse, and let's look at it in the Amplified translation, because that'll help us a little bit. Say amen to that. Amen. All right, look at the Amplified translation. Our iniquities, our secret heart, and its sins, which we would so like to conceal, even from ourselves, you have set in the revealing light of your countenance. Keep going. For all our days out here in this what? Wilderness, says Moses, pass away in your wrath. We spend our years as a what? Tale that is told, for we what? Adults, No, we are doomed to die soon, come on, without reaching Canaan. Now, why are they doomed to die without reaching Canaan? Because of their disobedience. So because of their disobedience, God put a limit on their life. But wait a minute. You are not disobedient. All right, let's look at one more place. Let's look at Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 9, please. Hebrews chapter 9. Oh, we're going to open your eyes in here tonight because you are free at last. I said you are free at last. Look what it said in verse 27. As it is appointed unto men, what? Once to die. I don't know whether they have it on the screen. Can you put it up there on the screen? Y'all wrestling with that. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, come on, the judgment. Now, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after that, the judgment. It didn't say it's appointed unto men a time to die. It says it's appointed unto men, come on, once to die. So you got to die before you leave here, if Jesus tarries. So it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. So the tendency that we have is thinking that there is a limit that God sets, that when it's your time, it's your time. Whether you're in an airplane, whether you're eating dinner, whether you're asleep, the Grim Reaper can come in your room and snatch your life out anytime. Wrong. Wrong. Watch this. He couldn't even take Jesus's life. Jesus said, he can't take my life. I'll lay it down. So my point to you is people put it on God. Now let's go further. Let's look at John chapter 9, please. John chapter 9. They put it on God. So all of a sudden, here's Jairus' daughter. She died. And people start moaning and talking about God. And even in Lazarus' life, they're talking about, what did I tell you to turn to? John chapter 9. They said in Lazarus' life, you know, that God would get the glory. God doesn't get any glory out of you being sick. God doesn't get any glory out of you dying early. God gets glory when you bear much fruit. He wants to see the word of God work in your life. That's what gives him glory. Now watch this, watch this. Now the first thing I got to do, see, I got to destroy the image that we have of God and how we are to live in this earth. I got to give you some scriptures to destroy that. Because if I don't destroy it, it'll block the receiving that you've got to do to be healed. So I got to let you know that God is good. So, boy, I was going to say something here. It's a shandalabahu shataraba. Got to get this atmosphere here because I can feel something trying to interfere with me. Satan, I'm binding you right now. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and all of your work and anything that's trying to cause any kind of disturbance in this atmosphere and keep miracles from happening. I bind you right now in the name of Jesus and forbid you to operate in this place. Now the blood of Jesus is in this place. The blood of Jesus is in this place. Now I got to teach some because teaching is going to give you faith to receive your healing. I said I've got to teach, so let me teach. So here's a young man, and he was born blind. And the disciples with Jesus was passing by him. And they said something. Disciples ask him, verse 2, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And they said, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, and because the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the what of the world? I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle. He anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said to him, go wash where? In the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation sent. And he went his way, and therefore he washed and came back what? Seeing. Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but he got a hard time from the religious people after he came back and he could see. Why? Because the enemy hates miracles. He wants people to think that sickness and disease glorify God. I have some things down here. Let me just stick with my notes. Let me just teach you something for a minute here. Tradition told us that the Lord took him. All you got to do is look at Mark chapter 5 and look at Jesus walking with a man named Jairus. By the time Jesus got done healing that woman, the runners came from Jairus' house, said, Jairus, don't bother the master any longer. Your daughter's already dead. Jesus said, shh, don't say nothing. Sometimes it's better just to keep your mouth closed. Because if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. Got it? So he went to Jairus' house. Now, understand, Jairus had a daughter, I guess she was around 12 years old, but she had died. And we sometimes put it on the Lord. Well, the Lord took her. And you know what? The Lord, look, he wanted a little flower in his garden. Now, why is God going to kill a little baby for a flower? I'm going to say it now. I'm not going to back down on this. Because you need to know some of this. God is not the problem. The problem is ignorance. The problem is that God's people don't know the God that they serve and don't understand the scriptures. So Jesus raised the daughter up because Jesus wanted to show people that God didn't do that. Amen. Say amen to that. Amen. And when Jesus wanted to raise people up, let me show you what they wanted to do to Jesus. Once he raised Lazarus from the dead, if you really want to get some opposition, raise the dead. Come on over here to John chapter 12. We don't talk about this. I'm not letting you out of here till you get it. And you're going to get it supernaturally right now. Now here's Jesus. He has raised Lazarus from the dead. Watch this. This is John chapter 12 and verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on who? Jesus. Now understand, not only did the Jews come to put Jesus to death, but now they're trying to kill Lazarus again. That's kind of sick, isn't it? But you will be surprised how many people sitting up in the sound of my voice right now are not aware that God is a healer. And that, watch this, healing and miracles have not passed away. Watch this. If they did, when did they pass away? What year did they pass away? I'd like to know. What year was that they passed away? All right, let me show you another one, because this is what they say now, because I'm tearing down some sacred cows here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Oh, you getting healed tonight. I said you getting healed tonight. Now understand, I'm talking about everything including HIV, I'm talking about everything you got tonight is going to be healed. Everything, expect healing, because Jesus healed them all. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Have you got it? Come on over there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that what? Love God, and to them who are what? Called according to his purpose. Well, you know, Reverend, I know he died, but you know all things work together for good. And I hear people saying that, even pastors, they have service, you know, and don't hardly anybody show up. This is what they say. Well, God sent here who he wants here. That's a lie. The devil kept everybody that God wanted there. So stop telling that story. My point to you is all things work together for good, and you go in the Amplified, you'll see it's for those who follow God's plan. That's who work together for good. It works together not in general for good. The man didn't die early for good. That's not the way God works. He wants to heal the man. I said he wants to heal the man. I remember a lady came up, pulled up one time at a curve. I was preaching outside, and I was preaching in front of this little strip mall, and she pulled up in a truck, and her husband got out of the truck, slammed the door. I saw him slam the door. I said, man, he looked like he's mad. He went on in the drugstore. So I went over something, said, go over to the lady and talk to her. I said, ma'am, I said, excuse me. She said, yeah. I said, ma'am, have you ever met Jesus as your Lord and made Jesus your Lord? She said, don't talk to me about that now. My jaw hurt. I guess she had a toothache or something like that. And without thinking, I just reached in the truck and put my hand on the jaw. I said, God can heal that jaw. Heal! Now, that's taking a chance, isn't it? But I was young and foolish that time. When I did that and backed off, that thing is gone. I said, yeah. I said, ma'am, he took your pain. He took it because he knew that Satan would bring pain on people. So he bore pain. So supernaturally, you received it. I said, here's some tracks for you and so forth to get to know Jesus. By that time, my husband came out. And he got in the truck, slammed the door. And I heard her say, George, or whatever his name was, this man laid hands on me. My jaw doesn't hurt anymore. Shut up, woman. I heard him say that. He was mad. But anyway, she got healed. That's my point to you. My point to you, she got healed. All right, but wait a minute now. I'm still on pain. Because somebody's, you're still sitting up here with it. And remember, whatever I'm preaching on, the word comes with that. And the anointing comes with it to remove the pain. So all you got to do is receive now. I don't have to lay hands on you. That's what I'm telling you. I'm speaking the word only. All right, let me show you that. Let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, please. Matthew chapter 8. It's all right. This is your night. See, I'm not trying to conform this to what you think the service should be run like. This is not your service. You just here to receive. All right, what did I tell you? Matthew chapter 8. All right, Matthew chapter 8. Look what he says here. Because I'm teaching you while I'm doing this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, thy servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, well, I'll come and heal him. So the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the what? Word what? Only, and what will happen? My servant shall be healed. Now, where was his faith? All right, his faith was in the fact that if Jesus just spoke, not laid hands, just spoke. I said, just spoke. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak health to your bladder. See, I'm just speaking what I hear the Holy Ghost say. Somebody just got healed. Folks, I'm trying to take you through a lot real quick. Watch this. Over in the Old Testament, David said this to Goliath, this day shall the Lord deliver you into my hands. Watch this. Suppose David had said, next Tuesday. Watch this. Could God have moved?
No.
Why couldn't he have moved? Because we're the ones that have the authority to direct the power of God. God needs a person to work through. Why? Because he can't heal without one. Somebody's got to believe. Say that. Now, you said, well, God is God. He sure is God. But notice what he said. He said, I'm giving you, Adam and Eve, dominion over the whole earth. Yes. Now, for me to get in there, I got to come in through you.
Yes, sir.
Watch this. I said somebody's bladder, some bladder infection, some infection in the lower part of your body is healed right now.
Yes,
now, we got the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here, and he's healing right now. Now, where did I get that from? I got it from the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He knows the condition of everybody in this house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of knees in here going to be healed tonight. Knees. I release the healing. I release healing on knees right now in Jesus' name. I release that healing on them. And I command the pain of arthritis and bursitis to come out of every joint in this house and over this television right here. I said the pain come out right now. Now don't think God can't make your hair grow. Uh-oh, I better come over here for that. See, I know you're trying to figure out where is this preacher coming from? I'm coming from heaven. And I came to bring heaven. I know y'all never seen anything like that. Some people still looking at me kind of wild-eyed out the corner of their eye. You ain't gonna find nothing in me but Jesus. So you may as well give it up. I just told you, for Jesus to heal a man, he just spit on the ground. He made some mud. And made mud and packed him on the man's eye. Well, why did the man draw back and say, no, I don't know about that? Because when you're desperate enough, you'll take whatever healing God's got. And I'm telling you, you get a room full of desperate people, and the power of God will be so strong, you won't need nobody to say nothing. See, this is a time that God is going to comfort Zion. In other words, everything that's making you uncomfortable, you are coming into a season where it's being removed. Everything. I said everything making you uncomfortable is now being removed. Woo! That was the word of God. Sit down, let me finish it. Up there on the screen, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Look what he says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Keep going. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Keep going. To everyone that'll believe it. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is a power. What is gospel? Good news. Good news. Good news, I say. Good news. Good news that Jesus took your healing, took your health, took your sickness. He gave you his righteousness. He took your shame and gave you his honor. Say amen to that. He took your lack and gave you his wealth. The great exchange at the cross. He took everything you deserve and gave you everything you didn't deserve. Because God is a God of mercy, and his mercy is new every morning. He knows you messed up. He knows what you did. He knows the lies you told. He knows the things that you did that you didn't even tell anybody. But this is what he said. Father, forgive them. They didn't know what they were doing. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm just saying, all these things are tradition. Well, you know, Reverend Healing passed away. When? What year did it pass away in? Well, you know, God doesn't heal everybody. The Bible says Jesus healed them all, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What do you mean he doesn't heal everybody? Some people say, Lord, if it be thy will. Well, we know what the will of God is. Surely he has borne your sickness and diseases, carried all your pain and sorrows. Yet they did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for thy transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Lord, have mercy. Well, you know, God is trying to teach me something. Well, he teaches us through his word. God is glorified, you know, when we get through suffering. I'm suffering for the Lord. No, you ain't. You're being a fool for the devil. But what you need to do is come out of that. God has a better plan for your life. So how did Jesus heal them? Well, let's look at a couple of places. Come on over to Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 2. How are we doing? Say good news.
Good news.
Say gospel.
Gospel.
Glory to God. Now here was a man that was sick. But he had some friends who apparently had gone to Jesus' meeting. I call them four crazy friends. And the reason why I say that, not to put them down, but to say they had to go against the system. Because there's a systemic reason why a lot of people are sick. And they're being controlled by the enemy himself, who has set up a system to try to keep them from the truth. And it says here, verse 1, again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, somebody say straightway. Many were gathered together in so much that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the what to them? Word. The word to them. And they came into him, bringing one sick of the palsy and who was born of four. Lord have mercy, I feel a healing. There's healing going on in here right now. I said there's healing going on in here right now. Woo-wee! Come on, you came in here and you came in here with a headache, or you came in here with something like that, and that thing is gone right now. If I'm talking to you, stand on your feet. I know I'm talking to somebody. I know I'm talking to you. That's gone right now. It is gone. Some of you didn't even notice it was gone until I said that. Sit down. Let me finish this. Look what it says. And when they could not come nigh to him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their what? Faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, come on, son, keep going. Thy sins, come on, be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but who? God only. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, why are you reasoning these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or arise, take up thy bed and walk. In other words, they both come in the same package. Forgiveness of sins and healing for your body. Verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, what? Arise, keep going, take up your bed, come on, and go your way to your house. And what happened to him? Immediately, say that word again. Immediately, what happened? He arose. Lord have mercy. Immediately he arose, come on, took up his bed and what? Went forth before them all. In other words, if you are healed, do something you couldn't do before you got healed. Insomuch that they were all amazed, and what did they do to God? Glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now that's one example of that double cure. In other words, wait a minute, is it easier for you to get saved or to get healed? In other words, wait a minute, it's just as easy for you to get healed as it is for you to get saved. You don't need to be straining. You don't need to go through all that to get healed. Just receive, man, that's all. Way you got Jesus, just receive. Sickness will have to go. All right, let's go to John. John chapter 5, please. Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. John chapter 5. Now, stay with me just a little longer now. I got to put this in you because I'm chasing the devil out. I said, I'm chasing the devil right out of your life. John chapter 5, after these were the great feasts of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, all that religion up there. Now, there was in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Bethesda means, it stands for grace, really. It means house of God. Having five porches, glory to God. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. Now, that's not important, that's impotent. Okay. A blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And an angel came down a certain season in the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Sound like the lottery, don't it? And certain man was there which was had an infirmity. He had the infirmity how long? 38 years. There's somebody in here that you've had that sickness a long time. I got good news for you. That burden is going to be removed tonight. And that yoke is going to be destroyed tonight. Because tonight you're going to receive your healing. And when Jesus saw him lying, knew that he had a long time been in that case, he said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the impotent man answered and said, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, my welfare check didn't come on last Tuesday. And another step it down before me." All right, let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of all your blaming. Right now, let's get rid of everybody that you're blaming. Because that's been blocking the door to your healing. I don't care. Well, Pastor, you don't know what he did to me. Get rid of it. Forgive him. He doesn't know what he's doing anyway. Just forgive. Get rid of it. I don't care. Well, a man, get rid of that. No more blaming because it's blocking the door to your healing. I'm telling you, get rid of it because blaming brings you down to a place where the curse is operating in your life. God is making you like him and he doesn't blame you. I'm just saying what you need to do is operate like him. My point to you is that this is your day. You are not condemned. God is not holding anything against you. Lord have mercy. Okay, I got it. I know what you did. God knows, I'm speaking like God. God knows what you did, but he's forgiven you anyway. Lord. Oh, I'm talking to you now. I'm talking to somebody. Listen, I know you didn't tell anybody about it. God knows about it. He got you covered. He knows how you got in it, and he knows how you did it. But he is forgiving you. He is letting you know that that condemnation has caused sickness to be open in your life. It's caused you to suffer setbacks. It's caused you not to get relationships developed. It's caused a lot of things. But this night, you are forgiven. I said, this night, you are forgiven. No, come on now. This night, you are forgiven. Now receive that. Receive it. You receive it. I felt that when that thing came up. You want miracles to break out on another level? Just get a sense of righteousness. Get a sense of the fact that God has forgiven you and Jesus, God is looking at you just as clean as he's looking at Jesus. Now, this is very important, saints of God. Because, see, when the enemy tries to control us. And one of the things he tries to control us with is guilt and shame. Say amen to that. Guilt is a form of unrighteousness. And the Bible says all unrighteousness is a sin. And sin separates you from your help. Put up there James, please. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. I'm not going on much longer because I've got to get you out of here. I'm making it plain. I said you are forgiven and you're going to receive it tonight. And watch this. You're not going to let the devil tell you anything else other than what God has spoken in his word. Look what it says here in verse 14 of James chapter 5. Is any among you what? Sick. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the who of the church? Elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anointing him with what? Oil. In the name of who? The Lord. And the prayer of what? Faith. Shall save the who? Sick. And the Lord will what? Raise him up. And if he have committed sins, what will happen to him? me show you, because people don't know it, but Jesus used oil. Turn to Mark chapter 6 for me real quick. I'm almost done. You sit here anyway, because we're going to get you completely free. See, when you're real free, you won't blame nobody. Yeah, when you get really free. All right, look what it says. Are you with me? Look at verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and did what else? Anointed with what? Oil. Many that were sick. And what happened to them? And healed them. Ah, Lord. So God is a healer. Over in Psalm 107, put it up on the board, please. And verse 20, he says this. And he sent his word, and it healed them and delivered them from all, from their destructions. So he sent his word tonight to heal you and deliver you from everything that was destroying your life. Now there is a double cure. You've been forgiven for sins and you've been healed in your body. Healing belongs to you. Say, healing belongs to me. It's not something you have to beg for. You don't have to ever pray for healing. You pray for faith in Jesus' name to get the devil out of your body or out of your life. Now, last one. Let's go to this one. Luke chapter 4, please. Luke chapter 4. God bless you. Bless you, brother. Praise God. We're going to see some action up in here. Now, the last thing. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Now, this is what the devil will tell you. You're not going to live to be but 40 years old. That's a lie. Because the Bible says in Psalm chapter 91, with long life. See, so as soon as the devil comes at you, go to the Word of God. Say, wait a minute, he told me I'm going to die. You know what I mean? And he'll, like I told you, he'll take a flip chart. This is the devil now. And he'll flip up to this disease and say, that's what you got. Your mama, you know, your mama had that. I remember my dad, you know, he was having problems with the circulation and so forth. And we were in the car, and bless his heart, he's going on to be with the Lord. And he had come to Chicago from Atlanta. And I was driving around, showing him around Chicago. I said, you still having problems with your hand? He said, yeah, you know, you're going to have that. I said, watch this now. I said, no, sir, I'm not going to have that. Watch this. Well, now, you do you know everything? I said, no, sir. Well, these things, they just pass down. I said, no, sir. I'm not going to have that. Now, don't tell me what you're going to have. I said, Dad, I understand that. I said, but I'm in a new family. I'm in the family of God. And what passes down in that is the blood of Jesus. And bless my dad's heart, and I honor my father. But do you know he got mad at me? Because I wouldn't receive what he thought. Watch this. What he thought was the truth. That is not the truth. I don't care what passed down in that family. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Now, I want you to receive tonight. You are in a family that is healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, if the devil argues with you, you got to do exactly what Jesus did. Say something. Don't be trying to think the devil away. That is not scripture. You open your mouth and say something. Even if you're at work, you got to say it down here by your desk so nobody see you. Just, I rebuke you. I don't have it. Say this. Shut up, devil. I tell you, this lady said that her little grandkids or something, or kids, grandkids, and they were riding in the car with her, and all of a sudden, one of them who was sitting in the front, he said this, shut up, devil. And she said, I looked at him and said, what's wrong? She said, the devil is trying to talk to me. He said, well, what was he talking to you about? He was telling me to go in the back seat and break Max's leg. Come on, say, shut up, devil. Now, I know this seems simple to you, but I'm giving you a command. I said, when he comes with that kind of talk, tell him, shut up, devil. See, the Bible says praise will still the avenger. One of the reasons why you come in here and get praise is because we got to make the devil shut up so that you can hear what I got to say. Why people want to miss praise, I don't know. But, you know, I'm in the back because I'm trying to prepare for this. But you got to get praise the Lord because it opens you up to hear heaven's voice. Come on, one more time. Shut up, devil.
Shut up, devil.
You make him shut up. So what happened in here? Said, look at this. He said this. Verse 3. This is, well, no, let me read verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Now say tempted. The devil will try to tempt you. He'll try to tempt you to take disease. When sickness comes around, who's there? Hong Kong. Hong Kong who? Hong Kong flu. Shut up, devil. Get away from here. You follow what I'm saying? I'm just saying, don't tell him, come on in, get some pajamas are on the bed here, and so forth. When the symptom comes, it's not the real thing yet, it's just the symptoms. He wants you to receive the real thing. Shut up, devil. See, I had to tell him shut up because he said, well, look, a couple of people walking out because they said, shut up, devil. I know I'm preaching the truth. We're going to make the devil shut up tonight. You've been redeemed from the curse. Sickness is a curse. You've been redeemed from it. Listen, folks, you're going to always have people trying to judge you, trying to look at you, trying to criticize you, trying to make you feel ashamed, trying to make you think that you are low and you are not to be counted. Tell the devil to shut up and just go and be who God says you are. Say amen to that. Oh, I like this. I don't care if you don't like it, I like it. All right, look what it said in verse 3. And the devil, taking them up, said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus answered and said to him, it is written. Say, it is written.
It is written.
That man shall not live by what? Bread alone. But by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, remember, The Word of God is your teacher.
Shut up,
go ahead, sister. See, as fast as I say something, the devil will try to counter it. See? You just got to tell the devil to shut up. All right. Now, sickness is not a part of your inheritance. Your inheritance is perfect health. And I'm talking about no time at all do you have to receive sickness. You got what I'm saying? So your inheritance is perfect health. You're supposed to live long and strong. This is everybody in here. Now, you and I, we're going to believe God. I'm going to pray. And we're going to believe that anything that's been troubling you in your life, any sickness, any disease, any infirmity, is going to leave your life as we pray here today. Now, here's the deal. The Bible says, put up 1 John 1:9, please. 1 John 1:9. It says this. If we confess our sins, He is faithful, come on, and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us of how much unrighteousness? God does not want you guilty about a single thing.
Amen.
And let me tell you, when you sinned is not when God knew it. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow.
Amen.
Before tomorrow ever comes. And He's provided a way out.
Amen.
He's provided a way out. This is your night. I'm telling you, your struggle is over. Now it's time. It's time for you to receive your inheritance. Healing belongs to you. Just like if you've got a car outside, that's yours. Somebody else drives away in it, you can have them arrested. Because it belongs to you. When the devil starts running off with your health, you can have him arrested. Because healing belongs to you. Don't think because you're getting old, you've got to stop being able to be mobile and so forth and so on. You see, whatever you believe is where you end up. See, you got to understand that what's on the inside of you just manifests on the outside. So if inside in your mind you think this man one time is going to get an operation in a hospital, and this is what he said, if the doctor operates on me, I know I'm going to die. That's what he said. What do you think the doctor did?
They didn't operate.
They didn't operate on him because he spoke that. That's how powerful your believing is. It'll override what anybody else thinks. Jesus asked the man a question. Do you want to be made whole? What do you believe? Okay? So I'm not talking about just healing a headache. I'm talking about everything. Now watch this. Can I show you one more scripture? Let me just show you this last scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew chapter 15. Praise God. See, God, I said, God, why doesn't this work? He says, just get the hindrances out. And it'll work perfectly. So I saw I was doing some things, but I had some hindrances there. And sometimes hindrances can be condemnation and unbelief and lies of the devil, so forth like that. Look at Matthew chapter 15. Have you got it? I didn't hear you quite loud enough. Okay. Look at verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence. He came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee. And he went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came to him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And they cast them down at Jesus' feet. And what did he do to them? He healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorify the God of Israel. Now notice what he said, the maimed to be made whole. The maimed to be made whole. Have you ever heard of an animal called a salamander? A salamander. It's kind of like a lizard. He has an interesting characteristic. If you cut off one of his limbs, it'll just grow back. Here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about kidneys being replaced. Are you following what I'm saying? He said it's according to your faith. Didn't he say according to your faith? So let's believe for it all. Let's don't put any more boundaries on our faith. Let's believe God that anything that's missing or broken in your life is going to be repaired. I said tonight. God is comforting Zion. Anything that's making you uncomfortable is being removed right now. Praise God. Now here's what I want us to do. Brother Wayne, if you'll come. And we got some music here going. Because I want the flow of the Holy Spirit. And let you see that I'm not the healer. But Jesus said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we call his name, whatever he did yesterday, his name will do today. So we're going to believe God for all of this. Now, I need you to expect with me. Those guys went and got that crippled man and brought him, and they couldn't get in the house. So they went up on the roof and tore it open and lowered him down in here. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now you rise and take up your bed and walk. There's a song called Glorify Thy Name. And as I was praying this afternoon, he said, sing that song. Because we're going to glorify his name tonight. Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. We love.